Seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to the chapter we read, the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 2, and verse 25. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 2, verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem, whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2 and verse 25, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem, whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. This is a very wonderful word that was recorded by the Holy Spirit concerning Simeon. Be a wonderful thing, wouldn't it, if something like this was recorded concerning us? Because this dear man is now in glory, praising and blessing God for eternity, for what the Lord did for him. Now, may the Lord help us to look a little into this word, and behold. It was time for them to pause, to consider what the Lord was to say concerning this dear man. And as I've said many times before, wherever you find this word, behold, in God's holy word, there is something important to follow it. And this is what the Lord said. It's not what any man said about Simeon, or what he said about himself. We live in a day where politicians and even ministers and so on say much about themselves, but it's what the Holy Ghost speaks concerning us, what we are seen in the eyes of the Lord. How do we stand before him? That is the vital point, our standing before a holy God. Now, the standing of Simeon was wonderful. Oh, it was. What an example this is. Really, I felt when the text dropped in, I said, Lord, do give me just a little of the religion of this dear man. Now, there are a few things I want to look at. First of all, where he was. He was in Jerusalem, God's holy city, the place where the Lord dwelt. He was there by appointment of heaven. He wasn't there by chance, in Jerusalem. And he was there at the appointed time where they were to bring in the holy child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law. We know the Lord can bless his dear people wherever they are. But you see, here with dear Simeon, the time had come for the Lord to so favour him. There's no doubt he was coming toward the close of his life. We're not told his age. But it was the set time for the Lord to favour him. And he was in Jerusalem to receive it. Appointed by God to be there. You know, there are those times where the Lord appoints us to go, maybe to a certain place or a certain service, and it is his appointment to receive, that the sinner might receive the blessing. The second thing I would just name is this, whose name was Simeon. That seemed to interest me. You know, we often think when a babe is born, what the dear parent will name it. And often it is because of some particular thing why they are named thus. But then there's the meaning of that name. And I thought, you know, it was a wonderful name that he was given, whose name was Simeon. There are two things, really, concerning that name. Firstly, he was to hearken, to listen. It's a wonderful thing, you know, to have an ear to hear. As the Lord said himself, what the Spirit saith unto the churches, to have a hearkening ear to listen. Well, this dear man was not only listening for the Lord to speak, but he was hearkening for the Lord to appear, waiting for him to appear. The second aspect of his name was this. It means obedient. And that's a wonderful thing, you know, to be an obedient child of God. I often quote that word, what the Apostle Paul said, be ye as obedient children. Now look in your heart and looking in mine, and I preach these things to oneself. Are we obedient to the Lord? There's no doubt with Simeon he was obedient in being in Jerusalem. The Lord had commanded him to be there. He'd listened. He'd hearkened to what the Lord had said and he was obedient to it. And he was a man, you see, of much prayer. And the prayer of his heart was real because of what we have and we read in the lesson how the Lord wonderfully answered it. That he would not die until he'd seen the Lord's Christ. So may we lay the name to heart, you see, in our own path and experience today, and I don't know why I name it, but you think, are you hearkening to what the Lord will speak and to what he commands you? And are you obedient to that? And am I? A wonderful thing to be obedient to what the Lord says. Now let me just use two examples of that really. Firstly, if the Lord bids us to stand still, then you do it, poor soul. Then you'll be obedient to what he says. If he bids you to go forward, then you go forward. It's like a dear parent where you take the child and they're by a busy road and they will say to the children, stop, because of the dangers of the road. And often the Lord stops his dear people because of danger. But then when the passage is clear, they can go forward. And being obedient, you see, to what the parent says, but far greater so, that's only a little illustration of it, being obedient to the Lord. Well, he was a dear man that was. The third thing that the Holy Spirit has recorded concerning him, and the same man was just and devout. He was just. We are told many times throughout the Word of God of those that were just. And one of the meanings of being a just person is to be right in the sight of God. Not right in our own eyes, but right in the sight of God. My mind went to godly Noah. You remember, and it's reminded me much of late with all the rain we've had and the floods, and it took one's mind back to the great flood in Noah's day. And what do we read? You see, the Lord was to prepare Noah and those favoured few for that great flood. And we read this, these are the generations of Noah. And what did he say about Noah? What did the Lord record concerning Noah? Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation. Now this is what the Lord said about the dear man. He was just before God, right in the sight of God, and to do those things that were right in the sight of God. Not right in his own eyes. There's no doubt as he sought to build the ark, there was much criticism, and many laughed at him. How would he get such an ark to the water, to the sea? He didn't have to, did he? The Lord was going before, you see. Because Noah was a just man, right in the sight of God, he was enabled to obey what the Lord said, and he knew it was right what he was doing, because God had commanded him. But not only that, it says here, and perfect in his generation. What a statement really, wasn't it, concerning the dear man, and perfect in his generation. You may say, oh, but we're all of us so imperfect because we're contaminated by sin. We're in many ways imperfect because we're poor fallen sinners. But regarding Noah and Noah's heart, it was right before God, just man and perfect The margin tells us concerning perfect, upright in his generation. He stood upright in his generation before God, before the Lord's people, and before the world. We read concerning those in the days of the apostles. They took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. It was seen. They sought to be upright, perfect before God and before the Lord's people and before the world. But not only this concerning dear Noah, we read, and Noah walked with God. Look in your heart, look in mine. Are we walking with God? Well, let me come low. Do we desire to walk with the Lord? Is your prayer with the dear hymn writer when he said, "Oh, for a closer walk with God, a calm and heavenly frame, a light to shine upon the road that leads me to the Lamb"? Is that your prayer? Well, here, concerning Simeon, we find the Holy Spirit recording the same man was just, perfect before God, righteous in the sight of God, had no righteousness of his own, been stripped of it all, but sheltering and resting upon the righteousness of Christ. Think of what the hymn writer said, "Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, my beauty are my glorious dress. Mid flaming worlds in these arrayed, with joy shall I lift up my head." The same man was just. But then, let's go further with these just characters. The Apostle Paul, in writing to the Romans and to the Galatian church, spoke of them in this way: "The just shall live by faith." And here was a dear man that had prayed he may be favoured to see the Lord of life and glory before the Lord took him home to heaven. And the Lord gave him faith to believe that the Lord would grant it. The just shall live by faith. And you may say, "Well, I come so short, I don't feel to be a just person, but I long for that grain of faith to be given to me." They shall live by faith. And what enabled Simeon to walk by faith? It was the Lord had given him grace and faith to walk before the Lord. A just man. The just shall live by faith. And what will faith enable you to do? Well, faith will enable you to put all your trust in him. in the Lord. What are we told in the Word of God? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, not some of it, and lean not to thine own understanding. And as the Lord gives you faith, poor soul, you can put all your trust in him for time and for eternity. Trust him, he will not deceive you. And you see, there are many deceivers about. The devil is the arch deceiver of souls, isn't it? And many men, many women would deceive you. But faith will ever put its trust in the dear Redeemer. Secondly, the just shall live by faith. Faith will ever look to the Lord Jesus. Oh, it will. If you go through Hebrews 11, where the apostle speaks of all those that died in faith, you'll find right from the very beginning of that chapter of those he gives the catalogue of, they all looked for the glorious coming of the dear Redeemer. Faith looked for that day. And he couldn't rest until the day came. A just man was Simeon, walking by faith, living by faith. And not only in the trials that you may have to walk through, which Simeon did in his life, faith will look out of it all to a precious Jesus. Oh yes. What does the hymn writer say? Faith views time past in distant view and brings present prospects near of things a thousand years ago. You see, faith will believe it. Now that brings me to the third point in this concerning the just living by faith. The faith that gives the heart of the child of God faith to believe in the dear Redeemer. Without faith, you know, you can never believe in the Lord. This is why the world, the ungodly, and those that know not the Lord can never serve him aright or seek him aright, because there's no faith in them. It's very solemn, that is, isn't it? But what a blessed thing for the real child of God to be given living, vital faith. To trust in the Lord, to look to him, to believe in him. What does the hymn writer say? Faith believes it. Think of the promises. Faith will believe them, and hope will expect them. If you take the case of godly Abraham, when the Lord gave him that promise, years before Isaac was to be born, when he looked into the starry heavens, now many of you and you dear children and young ones, well, sometimes on a clear night, you look into the heavens and you see all the stars there, and they're all put there by the Lord. And that's what dear Abraham did. He looked to the starry heavens And what did the Lord say as he looked at those stars? So shall thy seed be. And yet he had no offspring, no children, no family to follow. But what had the Lord given Abraham? Faith to believe the Lord would fulfill the promise. And may this be of comfort to your hearts this morning. The Lord has given you a sweet word of promise. He has given you. I don't mean you've took it to suit yourself. He has given you it. Faith in you will embrace the promise. Oh, it will. It'll lay hold of it. And it won't let it go. But what else will faith do? It'll look for the fulfillment of it. Well, we have it in the case of Simeon. He asked the Lord that he might see the Lord's Christ. And faith believed he would. Faith believes it. And hope expects it. And the day, you see, with godly Abraham, faith believed it, and yet looked impossible, didn't it? Absolutely impossible. Naturally speaking, it was. But faith believed it, and hope expected it. And so when the Lord came down and said to dear Sarah in 18th of Genesis, she should bring forth a son. Well, could she laugh? That's what unbelief would do. He'll laugh at the promise. It's impossible. That's what unbelief says. But what did the Lord say? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Now, I hadn't thought of taking this line this morning, but the Lord knows why. But you think in your heart, those things that are impossible with you and impossible with me are not impossible with the Lord. And he proved it to Abraham, didn't he? Naturally speaking, we read concerning Sarah, it ceased to be with her after the manner of women. So naturally it was an impossibility. And then we read concerning Abraham, he was as good as dead. That's what the Word of God tells us. It was impossible with men. But it wasn't impossible with the Lord. Is anything. You look how comprehensive that is. Is anything. Now I don't know what the anything may be with you. Too hard for the Lord. That reaches out to everything. Is anything. Too hard for the Lord. Well, they had to prove there was nothing that was too hard for him, didn't they? And faith believed it. The just shall live by faith. Now, this is what the Word of God... That's been ever so sweet to me since yesterday, you know. The just shall live by faith. And faith will ever be dependent upon the Lord. But there's another aspect to it as helped I will bring before you. And it's this. There are the arms of faith. Oh, there are. And the hands of faith. If you look in the case of the dear woman, which I often name, that pressed through the crowds to get to the feet of the Lord Jesus, the Lord gave her the arms of faith to reach out for Christ and the hands of faith to touch the border of his garment. And she said, didn't she, if I could but touch the border of his garment, the issue of blood will stanch. And she believed it. And the Lord gave it to her, and as soon as she touched, the virtue flowed from the Saviour into her. Twofold. First, the virtue of healing. So her body was completely restored after 12 years of affliction that no doctor in this earth could heal her from. She tried them all. There may be many things you are trying to put this right or that right, but you'll come to the point, poor soul, where it's only the Lord who can do it. And the second thing was this with her. The virtue of his love, his goodness, his mercy, his favour toward her flowed into her soul so she could go in peace. Oh yes. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout. Oh, the same man was just and devout. Lovely description, really, isn't it, of this dear man. I'll tell you what it does. Well, in my poor heart, I'll leave the other with you. It stirs up this in me. Lord, may we be like it. May we be like him. Not only was he just and right in the sight of God, wanting all the righteousness of Christ in his own soul, but he was devout. Oh, he was before the Lord. How devout are you, and how devout am I? You know, it's really searched me. I thought when the text dropped in, I thought, now, one looks in one's own heart, how devout are we? I may have told you this before, but before I went to Ashworth's pastor, I used to work for agricultural merchants in Headcorn. And in the course of work sometimes, I used to have to go to the convent in Staplers, where there were all these nuns in this convent. And, you know, I used to think, you know, how solemn it was, really. There they were, devout in things, in their form of worship, and their idols they worshipped. But it was a lesson, you know, to me, because I used to think, now, they're devout in serving Satan, really, and worshipping all these idols of the Virgin Mary and so on. And they'd fall down before these idols. They were so devout in it, earnest in it, you see. fervent in it. And it was a solemn thing to me to think that what a solemn delusion they were in, really. But we leave that. But what it did in one's own poor heart was caused me to search my... I thought, now, they're trying to serve their God, which was a dead God. How devout am I in serving the living God? And may we this morning, and I set it forth lovingly, how devout are you and am I, and the Lord's the witness. And he was with Simeon, devout in serving the God of heaven, the living God. Are we devout in our prayers, earnest in them, diligent in them? And then you think of our walk. Are we devout in our fear of the Lord, in our serving him, in our seeking him, in our walking before the world? And I think of those in that home, you know, there in Staples, you know, I used to think, you know, how devout they were. But may we be devout, earnest, diligent in serving the God of heaven, the living God. When you think back on our godly forefathers and some of the old saints, I remember Miss Wickens telling me she could remember when she came here and there was only four people that had cars. Mind you, we're going back a long time. But you know, you think how many walked to the house of God or caught the bus here. And they were diligent in it. They had to be there to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness and in spirit and in truth. Well, think of Simeon. There he was in Jerusalem, devout in that city, serving the God of heaven. Just as we said earlier about those in the Acts of the Apostles, where they took knowledge of them that they'd been with Jesus. It was seen, you see. They were devout characters. Oh, they were. They hadn't just got a name of religion. They walked it out. You say, the just shall live by faith. They walk it out before the Lord and before men and before the world. Oh, you think in our work lives and in our company with the ungodly, do they see that we have been with Jesus? Well, this dear man, he was a devout man. And then we think of what is recorded in the Acts of the Apostles concerning those that were... serve the Lord. And the day of Pentecost, we read this. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under the heaven. They'd all come to Jerusalem to worship the Lord. And the Holy Spirit said they were devout men. That's what he said concerning them. And you know, in many denominations there are those that are devout. Now, we realise the solemnity, as I tried to point out to you, of serving a dead God and devouting that. But may it be a lesson to us that we might be devout in serving the living God, the God of heaven. He that holds our breath in his hands. You know, just one breath taken and we can be in eternity. It's all in the hands of the living God. He holds our breath in his hands. It is he that keeps us alive. We don't keep ourselves alive. We know it is vital we should feed and do everything to support the body. But it's being dependent upon the Lord. And I just want to pursue this point before I leave it. How dependent. You see, Simeon was so devout, he was dependent for everything upon his God. Thy whole dependence, the Lord said through the hymn writer, on me fix. Oh, that we might be completely, totally, utterly dependent upon the Lord. And you know, the older one gets, the more we have to depend on him. No use depending upon ourselves or depending on any arm of flesh or any man, is it? Dependent upon the Lord. And this dear man Simeon was. He was just and devout. Now, venture upon him, you poor soul. Dependent upon him. Because he'll never fail you. Oh no. We fail. Man fails. But the Lord will never fail. And I'll tell you something else. The Christian's hope will never fail. Amen.